Yesterday we had a wedding, many of you were here, and but another important thing we do in the life of the church is we dedicate children to the Lord, and we have a particular precedent for that in the life of Christ. It says, "Then there were brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray. And the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, Suffer, little children, and forbid them not to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands on them and departed thence." Said that these parents brought unto him little children. But you know, parents don't just bring their children to Jesus at the baby dedication. They bring their children to Jesus every time they come to church, every time they have prayer in the home. They bring their children to Jesus every time they read the Bible in the home. They bring their children to Jesus when they model an example of the difference Christ makes in our lives. And this morning, this is important, this baby dedication and this bringing of this child in just a moment. Hunter, the parents are going to bring him. We're going to dedicate him. I'm just representative of Christ. What they're really asking is that Jesus would lay his hand upon this young boy. But this is just the first of bringing their child to Jesus. And I'm going to say, just keep bringing him to Jesus. Keep bringing him to Jesus. Amen. Would you come, and all those that are coming with you, AJ and Brandy, just, amen. We have Brandy's mother. Just come up here and maybe over here and just make sure we want everybody to see this young man. He's going to cooperate, I can tell. I'm sorry. Okay. Good to have these grandmothers up here with him. Support. Amen. In our area, most of you are familiar, the last few weeks, our metro area has lived under that story. It's public. That's why I mentioned it. Of where a young mother left her one-year-old daughter, just left her daughter, abandoned her, so to speak, for self-gratification. There's no other way to put that. And that's an awful thing when you hear about parents abandoning their children. And as bad as that is, I also believe that spiritual abandoning of children is wrong too. Just to abandon your child spiritually by giving them no godly example, abandoning them spiritually by not trying to train them in the things of the Lord and just leave them to themselves as far as their spiritual heart and nature is concerned. And so when I thought about that, just reading about how we reacted to that mother abandoning her one-year-old daughter, I thought, you know, there's a lot of folks that abandon their children spiritually. And I believe that one reason this couple is here this morning with this child is they're going to dedicate themselves not to do that. They're concerned, even right now, of Hunter's spiritual nature, his spiritual growth. And that's why they've come. You know, we call this a child dedication, but really this is a parent dedication. And I know they love this young boy just like their others. But this is going to be a special moment of where they dedicate themselves particularly to Hunter this morning. And I'm going to ask them a series of questions. And if his parents, if this is true with you, if this is the way you feel and this is your dedication, just say, "We will." Will you do all you can do to provide for Hunter spiritually, physically, emotionally, and socially? Will you do all you can do to raise him in the fear and the admonition of the Lord, bringing him to church, having prayer and Bible reading in the home, setting a godly example? I know this is your concern. That's why you're here, that one day he'll come to know Christ as his personal Savior. Will you dedicate yourselves at least to try to be the ones that lead him to a personal knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ? When you dedicate a child to the Lord, you never know. As that child grows, God may call him to his full-time kingdom work here or abroad. If God would call this child, Hunter, to his work, Would you release him and bless him as he entered the work of the Lord? We would hope it would never happen, but if at an untimely age God would take this child to be with him, would you, since you've dedicated him to the Lord, would you let God come to you and comfort you and give you the assurance that one day you can have a reunion with him in heaven? Church, this is about us too. Will you dedicate yourself as a church to provide an atmosphere where God can be experienced and encountered, and where Hunter can have instruction in the things of godliness and see good examples throughout this church body? Church, if you dedicate yourself to that, will you say, we will? Amen. We're going to pray for this child. I got a grin. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this gift you've given AJ and Brandy. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for their desire to bring this child to you and dedicate him to you, Lord. And Lord, I pray right now that you would lay your hand upon Hunter and lay your hand upon these parents. Lord, let them see this tremendous responsibility, this eternal soul that they're a steward of. But let them also sense, Lord, that you'll be with them. You'll give them wisdom and grace and help. And as they call out to you, Lord, you'll come alongside by your Spirit, Lord, and your presence will be felt in their home. And the difficult times, Lord, you'll give them the principles of your word and the help of your Spirit. Now, Lord, if there's anything wrong with this child that the physicians missed, Lord, touch it right now and make it right. Lord, we thank you for this family that's going to support this young family. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for Christ and all that he's done, that we could have heaven our home and our children can have that hope as well. Now, Lord, bless and touch and be with this family. In Jesus' name, amen. God has blessed AJ and Brandy with a beautiful young family, and that's a great thing. Amen. If you turn in your Bibles this morning to Romans 3, and as you're turning, I won't take the time right now, but get a bulletin and a calendar. The only thing I want to emphasize is this week our church is hosting PMA convention. We have two great men of God that will be speaking. Brother Snow, James Snow in the evenings, and Brother Gene Huff in the afternoons. And I want to encourage you, church, I said afternoons, morning, at 10 o'clock. I want to encourage you to come. If you haven't heard, how many's heard Brother Huff speak? Okay, you know you'll be blessed. If there's any way you can come, you'll want to hear Brother Huff speak, and then the evenings, Brother Snow, and we'll be giving you more details this evening. This is communion service, and we've been preaching about salvation for Romans, and I'm just going to take just a section of what we would have been sharing this morning as a meditation for our hearts for this communion service. And so if you would stand, we're going to be reading in Romans. We'll begin with chapter 3, verse 21, and I would really like for the Lord to make, by His Spirit, to make salvation real all over again to us. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Amen. In verse 21, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. Amen. There's a lot of shouting material in those verses, and we see what God has done for us. But I want to focus on verse 24. Pardon me. Verse 24. Being justified freely by His grace through redemption that is in Christ Jesus. I'm telling you, all of those descriptions of salvation there are wonderful. But I want to focus on just two words. And Paul said, being justified freely. I want to minister this morning on justified freely. Justified freely. Oh, hallelujah. Aren't you glad for the gift of God? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We've been justified freely. Could we pray together? Pray with me and for me. Heavenly Father, shut up our hearts to the truth, oh God. I pray that Your Holy Spirit would take this truth and make it fresh and make it real. I pray it would make our time with the communion a new thing, a fresh thing, Lord. I pray if there's someone here that has not surrendered their heart to You, that before this service is over, oh, that they would be justified, freely saved, born again, given the assurance and hope of heaven. Thank You for each one that's here, Lord. Bless them for being in Your house on Your day, and bless the Lord's Supper that is to follow. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. I've thought of an experience I've had when I've seen, perhaps in a church service, I've seen God convicting an individual, and you could see the conviction upon them. And you would go to them, in this case myself, I would go to them and say, you know, I can see God's dealing with you. Don't you just want to give your heart to the Lord? Wouldn't you like to be saved this morning? Wouldn't you like to be born again? And often, Brother Wilson, I've got this response, not right now. There's some things I need to get right first. How many's ever heard that? Not right now. There's some things I need to get right first. I was talking to someone this week and they said, you know, there's just some things I need to get right in my life. Now, I'm not trying to absolve anybody of personal responsibility, but I want to tell you the truth of the matter is you can't get things right yourself. The things that are wrong in your life or my life, we cannot get them right ourselves. But I'll tell you who can get things right. Oh, I said, I'll tell you who can get things right. Amen. God can make things right through our faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. I feel like we've cheated ourselves sometimes by avoiding these words that are in Scripture. And here's one of them. It's kind of a big word, and we kind of just get familiar with it and pass over it. But the word I'm focused on right now is the word justify. And justified literally means to set right, to make right, to declare right. Sometimes you say, well, you know, I notice so and so and so and so. Things just aren't right between them, or something's wrong with that person. Things aren't right in their life. When we ask the question, are they right with God? I'm telling you, things can get in a mess. But the point is, when things are wrong, man can't get them right. But God can set them right. God can make them right. God can declare right, because God is the just and the justifier, and He justifies our hearts before Him. Oh, I'm glad God can make things right. You see, the problem is today, and I think churches are an accomplice to this. I mean, today people are concerned of this question: is God right for me? Have you ever noticed that? That's, people shop around for religion in churches, and they're asking the question, is God right for me? And they try God out like a new product and say, well, I want to see if God's right for me. Even that's a despicable thing that's happening. I've talked to folks and they say, well, I've tried that God thing and it didn't work for me. Listen, it's not a matter, is God right for me? Even this salvation message is simply this. Our lives are in a mess. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It's not as God right for me. It's that I need God to get things right between me and Him. The question is, are things right between you and God? And if they're not, you can't get them right. But through Christ He can, because He's the justifier. Oh, aren't you glad for justification this morning? Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. I heard the testimony, and I didn't ask permission to share this, so I won't tell you who, but amen, someone had a family member that was passing away, and the good report was, before he died, he got things right with God and right with his family. I'm glad for that kind of testimony. Oh, but what's really being said, yes, he confessed and asked for forgiveness. Oh, but it was a God in heaven that made the thing right to all those that call out on Him. The question of the whole Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, is how can man be right with God? How can sinful man be right with God? We cannot do it ourselves. Why do we need to be right with God? Because all have sinned. We've made a mess of everything with our lives. Our lives aren't right with God. Our thoughts, I'm talking about sinful man, our thoughts, our emotions, our relationship, they're not right with God. We've got a mess that we can't take care of ourselves. We can't sort out ourselves. Oh, but I'm telling you, if your life is a mess, if it's all wrong and nothing right, you can bring it to the Lord through faith in Christ, and He can set it right because He's the justifier. Oh, hallelujah. The other word I want to focus on is the word freely. He justifies us freely. Freely literally means as a gift. Not purchased, not earned, not merited, but gifted. He has justified us freely. I want to focus on that word, because if you need saving, God's not a reluctant God. He's not reluctant to save you. God is eager to save you. He doesn't just justify. Oh, but He justifies freely. As a gift. What does freely mean? First of all, freely means without cause. Freely, without cause. Amen. Under no obligation, without reason, on His own, He has justified us without cause. Sometimes Sandra will go to the grocery store, and she'll come home, we'll begin to unpack the groceries, and there'll be a big bag of the fat Fritos and a can of bean dip. And I said, why did you buy that? It's my favorite, you know, sitting in the Lazy Boy and going through a pack of Fritos with bean dip. And I'll say, that's that bean dip, that's expensive. Why did you buy it for? Oh, I know what she's going to say, but I like to hear it. She said, no reason, just because I love you. Thought I might need these. But I'm telling you, when it comes to salvation, you can look up to God and His wonderful gift of salvation and say, oh God, why'd you save me? God say, really, there's no reason I should have, except that I love you. Aren't you glad He loves us this morning? I want to tell you something. He didn't love us because we're valuable. We're valuable because He loves us. Amen. He justified freely. There's no cause. I mean, consider who we are. Consider what we've done. We won't take the time. We'll wait till another week. But you can read in chapter 3. I mean, Paul paints an awful looking picture of how bad humanity really is. And if you look at mankind, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And considering who we are and considering what we have done, there is no reason God should have justified and saved us. What have we done to merit His saving us? What have we done that He should want to save us? Amen. You can't answer that question, but I'm just glad He did. What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? Oh, amen. He shouldn't be mindful of us, and He shouldn't visit us, but aren't you glad that He is mindful of us? And you may be be here this morning and you're not yet born again. You may not even be familiar with church, but I want you to know He's mindful of your being in this service. And He's saying, oh, I want to save you. Why, Lord? Why would you want to save me? Don't you know my life? Don't you see how bad I've been? Yes, I know your life. I see how bad you've been. Oh, but I want to save you. Why, Lord? Oh, because I love you. No reason, no cause other than I love you. Amen. He justifies freely without cause. Secondly, He justifies freely. That means without coercion. No one, nothing made God or forced God to save us. He didn't need to be convinced and persuaded and coerced to save us. He wanted to. He desired to. I believe it was back in the 70s we started singing a song, and some people disparaged those songs, saying they're too simplistic or whatever. But it did have a good message. It said He didn't have to save me, but He did. Oh, that ought to make you want to shout. He didn't have to save me, but He did. I don't do this often, but would you humor me and would you say that with me across the building? Let's say it together. He didn't have to save me, but He did. That's kind of felt good, didn't it? Let's do that again. He didn't have to save me, but He did. You know what you just said? You just said, I'm justified freely. I'm justified freely. Hallelujah. Oh, He wasn't coerced. He wanted to. Next of all, freely means without cost. It's a gift. Literally, freely means for nothing. Amen. We can get excited here and talk about how it doesn't just mean without cost, but it means it could not be earned. It could not be merited or purchased. In fact, the best things in life, you cannot earn them or purchase them. Amen. And it does mean that. Oh, and it means that we can come to Him without money, without education, without a long list of good works. In fact, if we brought those things, it would mean nothing in salvation, but it means nothing in my hand. I bring simply to Thy cross. I cling. I come with nothing, God, because nothing can purchase my salvation. I'm justified freely, and we can rejoice in that, but never forget, amen, to say that He justified freely and that it's free to us does not mean that it did not cost something. It cost the Father, the Son. It cost the Son His life. It may be free to us, oh, but it cost Him everything. I'm glad He justifies freely. Hallelujah. Even if I could even bring all my good works, it would fall short. I've simply got to say, oh Lord, I don't have what it takes. Oh, but Lord, You justify freely. Hallelujah. I can't make the payment. Oh, but You've already made the payment. You've already purchased my salvation with Your own blood. I've been redeemed by Your blood. It cost Him everything, but He extends it freely as a gift to us. Isn't the salvation a wonderful thing? Hallelujah. I'm not getting into the political argument here. I just thought it was interesting, after some form of health care passed it, there were actually folks that showed up at different places and said, I'm ready to sign up for that free health care. And this is just an illustration, but sometimes you like to ask those folks, you're talking about free health care, but who do you think's paying for it? Money don't come out of thin air. Somebody's going to pay for it. I've heard the old timers talk about there's no such thing as a free lunch. How many's ever heard that expression? And oh, I'm so glad. I'm so glad we come to the Lord. No way to purchase our salvation, and He freely, at no cost to us, gives it to us. But as we partake of these elements of the communion, let's remember it cost Him greatly. Oh, justified freely. That's why Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6:20, for you are bought with a price. Justified freely. Free to you and me. But you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. Oh, I want to emphasize that fact. It cost him greatly. But then I want to say with the prophet Isaiah, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come and buy wine and milk without money and without price." You say, "I don't have a church background." Oh, come. You say, "I've got a lot of bad things in my life and not much good." Come. You say, "I don't have this, I don't have that." Oh, come. Come and you can partake of this without money. Hallelujah. Without good works, without merit. He's already paid the price. We just freely receive what he has given. Amen. That's why we ought to realize God has so freely given to us. We ought not to give begrudgingly to him. You know, that would be another sermon if I opened up. Listen, God's justified us freely. And yet some folks get stingy with him. They won't give him their time. They won't give him their life. They won't even give up the simple things of the world for him. They're begrudging in giving to God after all he's given to them. Oh, I wish something would get a hold of our hearts and say, "He justified me freely." Then nothing he could ask of me would be too much to give up, to let go, to turn loose. He's given himself. Oh, I'm so thankful for that. I give myself freely. And then freely means without conditions. How many seen those things on the flyer? Free to the first 10 customers. Conditions. Conditions. Free when you purchase this. Meet these requirements. Jump through these hoops. Free. There's always a sneaky requirement in it. Years ago, I'm thinking this Ashton's here. Ashton got a dog and I decided have her pay for the tags, buy the tags. And she did, so I filled it out in her name. And I read on there that there's going to enter it into a sweepstakes. And they did. And this wasn't one of those gimmicks because I'd already been through three or four stages there. And this was the final one. They were getting ready to send the check. But it said right on there, it wanted me to verify that this person was 18 years old or older, and she was like 12 or 13 then. $5,000. I couldn't verify it. I mean, got right up to the moment, and there was one sticking point, one requirement that disqualified her. I said sweepstakes, not lottery, and they entered it for me. I saw somebody looking at me. They're a little funny there. I'm telling you, with this thing, you won't come to God and all of a sudden there's a sticking point that disqualifies you. There's no conditions. Whosoever will. Whosoever will. Amen. Now you say, wait a minute. You say there's no conditions, but then you talk about repenting and confessing and believing. Aren't those conditions for receiving salvation? No, but Cecil, those aren't conditions to receive salvation. That is the means of receiving salvation. I love what C.S. Lewis said. He said, repentance isn't what you got to do before God takes you back or takes you in. Repentance is simply the way back to God. You're not paying for anything. It's no condition. You know, I think the biggest bill I got in my wallet is a dollar. But maybe I could tempt one of these young men. It's free. He didn't come to pay for the dollar. His effort wasn't, I wasn't rewarding his effort for coming. He came simply to receive it. And I'm telling you, repentance and confession and believing, you're not paying for anything. That's just the means of receiving. And it will happen that way. If we confess our sins, if we repent in our hearts, he will save us, justify us, declare us right before the Father. Oh, aren't you glad for this salvation? Amen. And last of all, freely means without constraint. You can talk about water. It flows freely. You can talk about an individual. You can talk about God. He gave freely. That means without constraint, without hindering, without slowing, the abundance. Oh, I'm glad God justifies freely. I mean, His grace just pours out and pours out. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm glad what He says later in chapter 5. It said, where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. It's free. I mean, it flows without constraint. He doesn't ration out in selfish drops a little bit here and there. He lets grace flow to all those that ask. Even aren't you glad God's not selfish this morning? He's not selfish with His love. He's not selfish with His mercy. He's not selfish with His grace. If you'll come to Him, hallelujah, He'll justify freely. His grace just flows without constraint. Hallelujah. If there's any blockage, it's on our side, because it's flowing freely from heaven. Amen. He said in chapter 8, verse 32, He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Oh, He's already proved it. He freely gave His Son. He'll freely give us what we need. He'll freely give us strength. He'll freely give us the resources. Oh, He didn't spare His Son. He'll give us all things freely. And then the Revelator said, He said unto me, Revelation 21, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life. I'll give it to him freely. Not just without cost, but without constraint. Just pour it out in abundance. Hallelujah. When God does something, He does it with an abundance. Jesus isn't bad with His math. When He broke the fish and the bread, He could have made it come out just right to feed the 5,000. But there was a bunch left over. Jesus didn't miscalculate. The scripture said over and above. He was just showing to us He doesn't do things dallying out in little rations, but He does things with an abundance. He justifies free. Aren't you glad God never halfway saved anybody? Oh, hallelujah. I joke sometimes, and you're accustomed to that dry humor, and so you indulge me. But I ask you, if you're halfway happy, you might be saved. Aren't you glad it's not like that? How many's overjoyed to know you're saved? You want to know why? He doesn't halfway save. He doesn't just give us a little drop and a little bit. He justifies freely. And I tell you, if we can get a hold of that, we can do some things freely too. And Jesus talked about that man brought before the king, owed him $1 million. Going to throw him in prison, torment him. But the man cried out for mercy, and for no reason but mercy. The king said, all right, I forgive your debt. Brother Joe, the same man, went out, found a guy that owed him $20, took him by the neck, started strangling him, said, pay me. If you don't, we're going to throw you in prison. They threw him in prison. And that king got a hold of that news of that, and he said, did I not forgive you freely? And look at the way you treated your brother. I'm telling you, if we've been justified freely, we can be freely about some things with our family and our brothers and sisters and those that have wronged us. Amen. Because we're just thankful we've been justified freely. Music, would you come? Amen. Several years ago, one of my friends, that's a youth pastor, he said he got a young man in his car that had backslid, been in drinking and drugs and carousing. Got him in his car, and the young man said to my friend, he said, I know I've messed up my life. He said, but I'll tell you what. He said, youth pastor, call him pastor. He said, pastor, I'll tell you what. He said, I'm going to quit drinking, and I'm going to quit doing drugs, and I'm going to quit running around. My friend said, I looked at him and said, no, you're not. And the young man said, how can you tell me that? I just told you I'm going to quit those things. And my friend said, no, you're not. And the young man got real upset and said, how can you sit there and tell me that? My friend looked at him and said, because you can't. You can't. You can't ever do it on your own. The only way you're going to be able to quit those things is come to God and let Him get you right. And when He gets you right, He'll take care of those things in your life too. I'm not absolving of personal responsibility. I'm just telling you, we can't get it right. But if we give it to Him, He'll set it right. He'll justify us freely. Could you lift your hearts and hands and just thinking for a moment? You've been justified freely. Let's thank Him. Justify. Come on, let's thank Him. Justify. You didn't have to beg Him. You didn't have to try to coerce Him. You didn't have to try to talk Him into it. You certainly didn't pay for it. But He justified you freely. Freely. Oh, hallelujah. Freely have you received. Freely give. Hallelujah. Give Him praise. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I want you to know these altars are open at any time. We're going to begin to open this communion service. And I trust the message this morning will weigh on your heart, cause you to rejoice as we partake of these elements, remembering what Christ went through to justify us. But if you're here and you're not a believer, you can come to these altars at any time and folks will pray with you. Or if you prefer, you can wait till we conclude this Lord's Supper. But if you need Christ, I want you to believe something this morning. You can come to Him just as you are, and He will freely save you, justify you, make you a new person in Christ this morning. I'm glad I have a gospel like that to preach. Hallelujah. Amen. We invite everyone, as servers, would you come to partake of communion with us? And even children, that you've talked it over with your parents and profess a relationship with Christ, you partake with us. We just ask that everybody hold your elements till everyone has been served. And then we will partake together. Amen. God bless you this morning.